The works of the Reverend Jonathan Edwards, Minister of the Gospel in Northampton, Massachusetts, and afterwards President of the College in New Jersey. This works is in 9 volumes. Volume 1, Memoirs of the Late Reverend Jonathan Edwards, A.M. Chapter 1, Mr. Edwards' Birth, Parentage, Education, and Entrance into the Ministry. President Edwards was one of those men of whom it is not easy to speak with justice without seeming, at least, to border on the marvelous and to incur the guilt of adulation. The Christian biographer labors under a difficulty in describing the character of extraordinary men, which the writers of other lives are but too generally allowed to forget, for he is bound so to represent actions and motives as to remind his readers that the uncommon excellencies of a character flow entirely from the bounty of heaven for the wisest and best purposes, and are not the result of natural vigor and acuteness. Otherwise, instead of placing these excellencies in a view advantageous for imitation or describing a character obtainable as to its most valuable traits only by gracious aids, there would be danger of setting up an idol more precious indeed than gold, but still an idol, whereby the mind would be led astray from one of the great objects of the Christian life, Jesus Christ, whose fullness filleth all in all. While we have a just view of him, it is a privilege to hear of his wonderful works in and by his honored servants, and to be enabled to imitate them is a great augmentation of the privilege. If their graces, amplified in a variety of circumstances in a manner, force us to a throne of grace and thereby prove the means of quickening ours, then do we make a right use of their history and follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Mr. Jonathan Edwards was born on the 5th of October, 1703, at Windsor, in the then province of Connecticut, North America. His father, the Reverend Timothy Edwards, was minister of that place almost 60 years and resided there from November 1694 to January 1758, when he died in the 89th year of his age, not 2 months before this his only son, Jonathan. He was very universally beloved and esteemed as an upright, pious, exemplary man, a faithful and very useful minister of the gospel. A few more particulars of this excellent man will be acceptable. He was born at Hartford in Connecticut, May 14, 1669, received the honors of the college at Cambridge in New England by having the degrees of Bachelor and Master of Arts given him the same day, July 4, 1694, one in the forenoon and the other in the afternoon. On November 6, 1694, he married Esther Stoddard, daughter of the Reverend and celebrated Samuel Stoddard of Northampton, in the 23rd year of her age. They lived together in the marriage state above 63 years. Mrs. Edwards, our author's mother, was born June 2, 1672, and lived to almost about 90 years of age, some years after her son. A remarkable instance of the small decay of mental powers at so advanced an age. This venerable couple had 11 children, one son the subject of these memoirs, and 10 daughters, 4 of whom were older and 6 younger than himself. Mr. Edwards entered Yale College when about 12 years of age and received the degree of Bachelor of Arts in September 1720, a little before he was 17. When at college, his character was marked with sobriety and improvement in learning. In the second year of his collegiate course, he read Locke on the Human Understanding with much delight. His uncommon genius, by which he was naturally formed for close thought and deep penetration, now began to discover and exert itself. From his own account, he was inexpressibly entertained and pleased with this book when he read it at college, more so than the most greedy miser when gathering up hands full of silver and gold from some newly discovered treasure. Though he made good proficiency in all the arts and sciences, and had an uncommon taste for natural philosophy, which he cultivated to the end of his life, yet moral philosophy, including divinity, was his favorite subject, in which he made great progress in early life. He lived at college nearly 2 years after he took his first degree, preparing for the work of the ministry. after which, having passed the usual trials, he was licensed to preach the gospel as a candidate, in consequence of an application from a number of ministers in New England who were intrusive to act in behalf of the English Presbyterians in New York. He went to that city the beginning of August 1722 and preached there with great acceptance about 8 months, but on account of the smallness of that society and some special difficulties that attended it, he did not think there was a rational prospect of answering the good end proposed by his settling there as their minister. He therefore left them the next spring and retired to his father's house, where he spent the summer in close study. He was earnestly solicited by the people to return again to New York, but his former views were not altered, and therefore, however disposed to gratify them, he could not comply with their wishes. In September 1723, he received his degree of Master of Arts. About this time, several congregations invited him to become the minister, but being chosen tutor of Yale College, he chose to continue in that retirement and attended the business of tuition there above 2 years. During his stay there, he was applied to by the people of Northampton, who had some powerful motives to offer in view of his exercising his ministry there, and especially that his grandfather, Stollard, by reason of his great age, stood in need of assistance. He therefore resigned his tutorship in September 1726 and accepted their invitation and was ordained as collegian with his grandfather February 15, 1727, in the 24th year of his age, and continued at Northampton 23 years and 4 months. End of chapter 1, having been read by Peter John Persis. The Works of President Edwards, Volume 1, Chapter 2. Extracts from his private writings. Between the time of his going to New York and his settlement at Northampton, Mr. Edwards formed a number of resolutions which are still preserved, but the particular time and special occasion of making many of these resolutions he has noted in a diary which he then kept, where we also find many other observations and rules relative to his own exercises and conduct. As these private writings may be justly considered the basis of his conduct or the plan according to which his whole life was governed, it may be proper here to give the reader some idea of them by the following extracts. Section 1. His Resolutions. Mr. Edwards was too well acquainted with human weakness and frailty, where the intention is most sincere, to enter on any resolutions rashly. He therefore looked to God for aid, who alone can afford success in the use of any means. This he places at the head of all his other important rules, that his dependency was on grace, while he frequently recurred to a serious perusal of them, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help. I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will, for Christ's sake. He then adds, remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Number 1, resolve that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure on the whole, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many matters of ages hence, to do whatever I think to be my duty, and most for the good and the advantage of mankind in general, whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great soever. Number 2, resolve to be continually endeavoring to find some new contrivancy to promote the forementioned things. Number 4, resolve never to do, be, or suffer anything in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God. Number 5, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Number 6, resolved to live with all my might while I do live. President Edwards. Number 7, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. These are no longer numbered in order. Number 9, resolve to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Number 11. Resolve when I think of any theorem in divinity to be solved immediately to do what I can towards solving it if circumstances do not hinder. Number 13. Resolved to be endeavoring to find out fit objects of charity and liberty. Number 14. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Number 15. Resolved never to suffer the least motion of anger to irrational beings. Number 17. Resolved that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Number 18. Resolved to live so at all times as I think is best in my devout frames and when I have clearest notions of the gospel and another world. Number 20. Resolved to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. Number 21. Resolved never to do anything which if I should see in another, I should count a just occasion to despise him for, or to think any way the more meanly of him. Number 24. Resolved, whenever I do any evil action, to trace it back till I come to the original cause, and then both carefully endeavor to do so no more, and to fight and pray with all my might against the origin of it. Number 28. Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Number 30. Resolved to strive to my utmost every week to be brought higher in religion and to a higher exercise of faith than I was the week before. Number 32. Resolved to be strictly and firmly faithful to my trust that Proverbs 20, verse 6, a faithful man who can find, may not be partly fulfilled in me. Number 33. Resolved always to do what I can towards making, maintaining, and establishing peace when it can be done without an overbalancing detriment in other respects. Number 34. Resolved in narrations never to speak anything but the pure and simple truth. Number 36. Resolved never to speak evil of any person except some particular good call for it. Number 37. Resolved to inquire every night as I am going to bed, wherein I have been negligent, what sin I have committed, and wherein I have denied myself, also at the end of every week, month, and year. Number 38. Resolved never to speak anything that is ridiculous or matter of laughter on the Lord's day. Number 39. Resolved never to do anything that I so much question the lawfulness of as that I intend, at the same time, to consider and examine afterwards whether it be lawful or no, except I as much question the lawfulness of the omission. Number 41. Resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better. Number 42. Resolved frequently to renew the dedication of myself to God, which was made at my baptism, which I solemnly renewed when I was received into the communion of the church, and which I have solemnly ratified this 12th day of January, 1723. Number 43. Resolved never to act as if I were any way my own, but entirely and altogether God's. Number 46. Resolved never to allow the least measure of any fretting or uneasiness at my father or mother. Resolved to suffer no effects of it, so much as in the least alteration of speech or motion of my eye, and to be especially careful of it with respect to any of our family. Number 47. Resolved to endeavor to my utmost to deny whatever is not most agreeable to a good and universal, sweet and benevolent, quiet, peaceful, content, easy, compassionate, generous, humble, meek, modest, submission, obliging, diligent, and industrious, charitable, even, patient, moderate, forgiving, sincere temper, and to do at all times what shall such a temper would lead me to do, examine strictly every week whether I have done so. Number 48. Resolved constantly with the utmost niceness and diligence and the strict scrutiny to be looking into the state of my soul
that I may know whether I have truly an interest in Christ or no, that when I come to die I may not have any negligence respecting this to repent of. Number 50, resolved, I will act so as I think I shall judge would have been best and most prudent when I come into the further future world. Number 52, I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would live if they were to live their lives over again. Resolved that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I lived to an old age. Number 54, whenever I hear anything spoken in conversation of any person, if I think it would be praiseworthy in me, resolved to endeavor to imitate it. Number 55, resolved to endeavor to my utmost to act as I can think I should do, if I had already seen the happiness of heaven and hell torments. Number 56, resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Number 57, resolved, when I fear misfortunes and adversaries, to examine whether I have done my duty and resolved to do it. And let it be just as providency orders it, I will, as far as I can, be concerned about nothing but my duty and my sin. Number 62, resolve never to do anything but duty. And then, according to Ephesians 6, verse 6 through 8, do it willingly and cheerfully, as unto the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Number 65, resolve to examine myself much in this, all in my life long, viz. With the greatest openness to declare my ways to God and lay open my soul to Him, all my sins, temptations, difficulties, sorrows, fears, hopes, desires, and everything and every circumstance, according to Dr. Manton's 27th sermon on the 119th Psalm. Number 67, resolved after afflictions to inquire what I am the better for them, and what good I have got, and what I might have got by them. Section 2, extracts from his diary. Though Mr. Edwards wrote his diary for his own private use exclusively, it is not apprehended that the following extracts are unfairly exposed to public view. Whatever is calculated to do good and is perfectly consistent with an author's real reputation may be published with honor, whatever his design might be while writing. Besides, what Mr. Edwards wished to have effectually concealed from every eye but his own, he wrote in a particular shorthand. After having written pretty much in that character, he had this remark in longhand: remember to act according to Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Saturday, December 22nd, 1722. This day, revived by God's Holy Spirit, affected with a sense of the excellency of holiness, felt more exercise of love to Christ than usual, having also felt sensible repentancy for sin, because it was committed against so merciful and good a God. This night made the 37th resolution. Sabbath night, December 22nd, made the 38th resolution. Monday, December 24th, higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Wednesday, January 2nd, 1723, dull. I find by experience that let me make resolutions and do what I will, it is all nothing and to no purpose at all, whatever the motions of the Spirit of God. For if the Spirit of God should be as much withdrawn from me, always, as for the week past, notwithstanding all I do, I should not grow, but should languish and miserably fade away. There is no dependency upon myself. It is to no purpose to resolve except we depend on the grace of God. For if it were not for His mere grace, one might be a very good man one day and a very wicked one the next. Sabbath, January 6th, at night. Much concerned about the improvement of precious time. Intend to live in continual mortification, without ceasing, as long as on the earth. Tuesday, January the 8th, in the morning. Higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Christ, and felt an unusual repentancy for sin therefrom. Wednesday, January the 9th at night. Decay. I am sometimes apt to think I have a great deal more of holiness than I really have. I find now and then that an abominable corruption, which is directly contrary to what I read respecting eminent Christians. How deceitful is my heart. I take up a strong resolution, but how soon does it weaken? Thursday, January 10th, about noon, reviving. It is a great dishonor to Christ, in whom I hope I have an interest, to be uneasy at my worldly state and condition. When I see the prosperity of others, and that all things go easy with them, when the world is smooth to them, and they are happy in many respects, and very prosperous, or are advanced too much honor, etc., to envy them, or be the least uneasy at it, or even to wish for the same prosperity, and that it would ever be so with me. Wherefore, concluded, always to rejoice in everyone's prosperity, and to expect for myself no happiness of that nature as long as I live, but reckon upon afflictions and betake myself entirely to another happiness. I think I find myself much more springly and healthy, both in body and mind, for myself to now eating, drinking, and sleeping. I think it would be adventurous every morning to consider my business and temptations, and what sins I shall be exposed to that day, and to make a resolution how to improve the day and to avoid those sins. And so at the beginning of every week, month, and year, I never knew before what was meant by not setting our hearts upon these things. It is not to care about them, depend upon them, afflict ourselves much with fears of losing them, or please ourselves with the expectation of obtaining them, or hope of their continuance. At night, May the 41st resolution. Saturday, January 12th, in the morning. I have this day solemnly renewed my baptismal covenant and self-dedication, which I renewed when I was received into the communion of the church. I have been before God, and I have given myself all that I am and have to God, so that I am not in any respect my own. I can claim no right in myself, no right in this understanding, this will, these afflictions that are in me. Neither have I any right to this body or any of its members, no right to this tongue, these hands, nor feet, no right to these senses, these eyes, these ears, this smell or taste. I have given myself clear away and have not retained anything as my own. I have been to God this morning and told Him that I gave myself wholly to Him. I have given every power to Him, so that for the future I will challenge or claim no right in myself in any respect. I have expressly promised Him, and do now promise Almighty God, that by His grace I will not. I have this morning told Him that I did take Him for my whole portion and happiness, looking on nothing else as any part of my happiness, nor acting as if it were, and His law for the constant rule of my obedience, and would fight with all my might against the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the end of my life, and did believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as a Prince and a Savior, and would adhere to the faith and obedience of the gospel, now hazardous and difficult soever the profession and practice of it may be, that I did receive the Blessed Spirit as my teacher, sanctifier, and only comforter, and cherish all His motions to enlighten, purify, confirm, comfort, and assist me. This I have done. And I pray God, for the sake of Christ, to look upon it as a self-dedication, and to receive me now as entirely His own, and deal with me in all respects as such, whether He afflicts me, or prospers me, or whatever He pleases to do with me, who am His. Now henceforth I am not to act in any respect as my own. I shall act as my own, if I ever make use of any of my powers to do anything that is not to the glory of God, or do not make the glorifying of Him my whole and entire business, if I murmur in the least at afflictions, if I grieve at the prosperity of others, if I am any way uncharitable, if I am angry because of injuries, if I revenge my own cause, if I do anything purely to please myself or avoid anything for the sake of my case, or admit anything because it is great self-denial. If I trust to myself, if I take any of the praise of any good that I do, or rather God does by me, or if I am anyway proud, This day made the 42nd and 43rd resolution. Monday, January 14th, the dedication I made of myself to my God on Saturday last has been exceedingly useful to me. I thought I had a more spiritual insight into the scripture while reading the 8th chapter of the Romans than ever in my life before. Great instances of mortification are deep wounds given to the body of sin, hard blows that make him stagger and reel. So we therefore get firm ground and footing against him. While we live without great instances of mortification and self-denial, the old man keeps whereabouts he was, for he is sturdy and obstinate and will not stir for small blows. After the greatest mortifications, I always find the greatest comfort. Supposing there was never but one complete Christian, in all respects, of a right stamp, having Christianity shining in its true luster, at a time in the world, resolved to act just as I would do if I strove with all my might to be that one that should be in my time. Tuesday, January 15th. It seemed yesterday, the day before, and Saturday, that I should always retain the same resolutions to the same height, but alas, how soon do I decay. Oh, how weak, how infirm, how unable to do anything I am. What a poor, inconsistent, miserable wretch without the assistance of God's Spirit. While I stand, I am ready to think I stand in my own strength, and I'm ready to triumph over my enemies as if I were myself that caused them to flee. When, alas, I am but a poor infant upheld by Jesus Christ, who holds me up and gives me liberty to smile to see my enemies flee, when he drives them before me, and so I laugh, and as though I myself did it, when it is only Jesus Christ leads me along and fights himself against my enemies, and now the Lord has a little left me, how weak do I find myself? Oh, let me teach it me to depend less on myself, to be more humble, and to give more of the praise of my ability to Jesus Christ. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Saturday, February the 16th. I do certainly know that I love holiness, such as the gospel requires. At night, I have been negligent for the month past in these three things. I have not been watchful enough over my appetite in eating and drinking, in raising too late, and in not applying myself enough to the duty of secret prayer. Sabbath day, February the 17th, near sunset. Renewedly promised that I will accept of God for my whole portion, and that I will be contented, whatever else I am denied. I will not murmur nor be grieved, whatever prosperity, upon any account I see others enjoy, and I am denied. Saturday, March 2nd. Oh, how much pleasanter is humility than pride. Oh, that God would fill me with exceeding great humility, and that he would evermore keep me from all pride. The pleasures of humility are really the most refined, inward, and exquisite delights in the world. How hateful is a proud man! How hateful is a worm that lifts up itself with pride! What a foolish, silly, miserable, blind, deceived, poor worm am I when pride works! Wednesday, March 6th, near sunset, felt the doctrines of election, free grace, and of our not being able to do anything without the grace of God, and that holiness is entirely throughout the work of God's Spirit with more pleasure than before. Monday morning, April 1st. I think it best not to allow myself to laugh at the faults, follies, and infirmities of others. Saturday night, April 6th. This week I found myself so far gone that it seemed to me that I should never recover more. Let God of his mercy return unto me and no more leave me, thus to sink and decay. I know, O Lord, that without thy help I shall fall innumerable times, notwithstanding all my resolutions, how often soever repeated. Saturday night, April 13th. I could pray more heartily this night for the forgiveness of my enemies than ever before. Wednesday, May 1st, forenoon. Last night I came home after my melancholy parting from New York. I have always, in every different state of life I have hitherto been in, thought the troubles and difficulties of that state to be greater than those of any other that I proposed to be in. And when I have altered with assurance of mending myself, I have still thought the same. Yea, but the difficulties of that state are greater than those of that I love less. Lord, grant that from hence I may learn to withdraw my thoughts, affections, desires, and expectations entirely from the world and may fix them upon the heavenly state, where there is fullness of joy, where reigns heavenly sweet, calm, and delightful love without alloy, where there are continually the dearest expressions of this love, where there is the enjoyment of the persons loved without ever parting, where those persons who appear so lovely in this world will really be expressively more lovely and full of love to us. How sweetly will the mutual lovers join together to sing the praises of God and the Lamb. How will it fill us with joy to think this enjoyment, these sweet exercises, will never come to an end, but will last to eternity. Remember after the journals, removes, overturnings, alteration in the state of my life, to consider whether therein I have managed the best way possible, respecting my soul, and before such alterations, if foreseen, to resolve how to act. Thursday, May 2nd. I think it a very good way to examine dreams every morning when I awake. What are their nature, circumstances, principles, and ends of my imaginary actions and passions in them, to discern what are my chief inclinations, etc. Saturday night, May 4th. And though I have in some measure subdued a disposition to chide and fret, yet I find a certain inclination which is not agreeable to Christian sweetness of temper and conversation. Too dogmatic, too much in egotistic egoism, a disposition to be telling of my own dislikes and scorn, and freedom from those things which are innocent or the common infirmities of men, and many such like things. Oh, that God would help me to discern all the flaws and defects of my temper and conversation, and help me in the difficult work of amending them, and that He would fill me so full of Christianity that the foundation of all these disagreeable irregularities may be destroyed, and the contrary beauties may follow. Sabbath day, May 5th, in the morning. This day made the 47th resolution. Sabbath day, May 12th. I think I feel glad from the hope of my eternity is to be spent in spiritual and holy joys, arising from the manifestation of God's love and the exercise of holiness and the burning love to Him. Saturday night, May 18th. I now plainly perceive what great obligations I am under to love and honor my parents. I have great reason to believe that their counsel and education have been of great use to me, notwithstanding at the present time it seemed to do me so little good. I have good reason to hope that their prayers for me have been in many times very powerful and prevalent, that God has in many things taken me under His care and guidance, provision and direction, in answer to the prayers. I was never made so sensible of it as now. Wednesday, May 22nd in the morning. Memorandum. To take special care of these following things. Evil speaking, fretting, eating, drinking, and sleeping. Speaking simple, variety. Joining in prayer. Slightness and secret prayer. Listlessness and negligence. And thoughts that cherish sin. Saturday, May 5th in the morning. As I was this morning reading the 17th resolution, it was suggested to me that if I was now to die, I should wish that I had prayed more, than God would make me know my state, whether it be good or bad, and that I had taken more pains to see and narrowly search into that matter. Wherefore, memorandum, for the future, most nicely and diligently to look into our old divines concerning conversion. May the 48th resolution. Friday, June 1st, afternoon. Have abundant cause, O merciful Father, to love thee ardently and greatly to bless and praise thee, that thou hast heard me in my earnest request and hast so answered my prayer for mercy to keep from decay and stinking. O graciously of thy mere goodness, continue to pity my misery by reason of my sinfulness. O my dear Redeemer, I commit myself together with my prayer and thanksgiving into thy hand. Monday, July 1st. Again, confirmed by experience of the happy effects of strict temperance with respect both to body and mind, resolved for the future to observe rather more of meekness, moderation, and temper in disputes. Thursday, July 18th, near sunset. Resolved to endeavor to make sure of that sign the Apostle James gives of a perfect man, James 3:2. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Monday, July 22nd. I see there is danger of my being drawn into transgression by a fear of seeming uncivil and of offending friends. Watch against it. Tuesday, July 23rd. When I find those groanings which cannot be uttered, that the apostle speaks of, and those of soul breakings for the longing it hath, which the psalmist speaks of, Psalms 119, verse 20. Let me humor and promote them to the utmost of my power, and be not weary of earnestly endeavoring to vent my desires. I desire to count it all joy when I have occasion of great self-denial, because then I have a glorious opportunity of giving deadly wounds to the body of sin, and greatly confirming and establishing the new nature to seek to mortify sin and increase in holiness. These are the best opportunities, according to January 14, to improve afflictions of all kinds as blessed opportunities of forcibly bearing on in my Christian course, notwithstanding that which is so very apt to discourage me, to damp the vigor of my mind, and to make me lifeless. Also, as opportunities of trusting and confiding in God, habitually, according to the 57th resolution, and of rendering my heart off from the world, and setting it upon heaven alone, to repent of and bewail my sin, and abhor myself, and as a blessed opportunity to exercise patience, to trust in God, and divert my mind from the affliction, by fixing myself in religious exercises. Also, let me comfort myself that it is the very nature of afflictions to make the heart better. And if I am made better by them, what need I be concerned? However grievous they seem for the present. Friday, July 26th. To be particularly careful to keep up an inviolable trust and reliance, ease and entire rest in God in all conditions according to the 57th resolution. For this I have found to be wonderfully adventurous. Monday, July 29th. When I am concerned how I shall perform anything to public acceptancy, to be very careful that I do what is duty and prudence in the matter. Wednesday, July 31st. Never in the least to seek to hear sarcastical relations of others' faults. Never to give credit to anything said against others, except there is very plain reason for it, nor to behave in any respect otherwise for it. Wednesday, August 7th. To esteem it an advantage that the duties of religion are difficult, and that many difficulties are sometimes to be gone through in the way of duty. Religion is the sweeter, and what is gained by labor is abundantly more precious, as a woman loves her child the better for having brought it forth with travail. And even as to Christ himself, in his mediatorial glory, including his victory and triumph and the kingdom which he hath obtained, how much more glorious, how much more excellent and precious for his having wrought it out by such agonies. Friday, August 9th. One thing that may be a good help towards thinking profitably in time of vacation or leisure is that when I light on a profitable thought, I can fix my mind in order to follow it as far as possible to advantage. Sabbath day after meeting, August the 11th. Resolve always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. As for instance, sometimes I argue with myself that such an act of good nature, kindness, forbearance, or forgiveness, etc., is not my duty because it will have such and such consequences. Yet, when I see others do it, then it appears amicable to me, and I wish I had done it. And I see that none of these fear inconveniences to follow. Tuesday, August 13th. I find it would be much, very much, to my advantage to be thoroughly acquainted with the Scriptures. When I am reading doctrinal books or books of controversy, I can proceed with abundantly more confidence to see upon what foundation I stand. Thursday, August 29th. The objection my corruptions make against doing whatever my hand finds to do with my might is that it is a constant mortification. that this objection by no means ever prevail. Monday, September 2nd. There is much folly when I am quite sure I am in the right, and others are positive and contradicting me, in entering into a vehement or long debate upon it. Monday, September 23rd. I observe that old men seldom have any advantage of new discoveries, because these are beside a way of thinking that have been so long used to. Resolved, if ever I live 2 years, that I will be impartial to hear the reasons of all pretended discoveries and receive them, if rational, how long soever I have been used to another way of thinking. Thursday, October 18th. To follow the example of Mr. B, who though he meets with great difficulties, yet undertakes them with a smiling countenance, as though he thought them but little, and speaks of them as if they were very small. Thursday, November 26th. It is a most evil and pernicious practice in meditating on our afflictions, of ruminating on the aggravations of the affliction, and reckon up the evil circumstances thereof, dwelling long on the dark side, it doubles and triples the affliction. And so, when speaking of them to others as bad as we can, and use our eloquency to set forth our own troubles, we thus are all the while making new trouble and feeding the old, whereas the contrary practice would starve off afflictions. If we dwelt on the light side of things in our thoughts, and extenuate them all that possibly we could when speaking of them, we should then think little of them ourselves, and the affliction would really in a great measure vanish away. Thursday night, December 12th. If at any time I am forced to tell persons of that wherein I think they are sometimes to blame, for avoiding the important evil that would otherwise ensue, resolve not to tell it them in such a manner that there shall be a probability of their taking it as an effect of little fretting, angry emotions of mine. December 31st at night. Concluded never to suffer nor express any angry emotions of mine, more or less, except the honor of God calls for it, in zeal for Him, or to preserve myself from being trampled on. Wednesday, January 1st, 1724. Not to spend too much time in thinking even of important and necessary worldly business, to allow everything its proportion of thought according to its urgency and importance. Friday, January the 10th, after a shorthand note. Remember to act according to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Monday, February 3rd. Let everything have the value now that it will have on a sick bed, and frequently in my pursuits of whatever kind. Let this come into my mind. How much shall I value this on my deathbed? Wednesday, February 5th. Have not in time past, in my prayers, insisted enough upon glorifying God in the world, and the advancement of the kingdom of Christ, the prosperity of the church, and of good men. Determined that this objection is without weight, viz., that it is not likely that God will make great alterations in the whole world and overturnings in kingdoms and nations only for the prayers of one obscure person, seeing such things used to be done in answer to the united earnest prayers of the whole church, and if my prayers should have some influence, it would be but imperceivable and small. Thursday, February the 6th. More convinced than ever of the usefulness of religious conversation. I find by conversing on natural philosophy I gain knowledge abundantly faster and see the reasons of things much clearer than in private study. Wherefore, resolved earnestly to seek at all times for religious conversation, and for those persons that I can with profit, delight, and freedom so converse with. Sabbath day, February the 23rd. If I act according to my resolution, I shall desire riches no otherwise than as they are helpful to religion. But this I determine, as what is really evident from many parts of Scripture, that to fall a man they have a greater tendency to hurt religion. Saturday, May 23rd. How it comes about I know not, but I have remarked it hitherto, that at those times when I have read the Scriptures most, I have evermore been most lively and in the best frame. Saturday night, June 6th. This has been a remarkable week with me, with respect to despondencies, fears, perplexities, multitudes of cares and distractions, thoughts, being the week I came hither to New Haven in order to entrance upon the office of tutor of the college. I have now abundant reason to be convinced of the troublesomeness and perpetual vexation of the world. Tuesday, July 7th. When I am given the relation of a thing, let me abstain from altering, either in the matter or manner of speaking, so much, as that if everyone afterwards should alter as much, it would at last come to be properly false. Tuesday, September 2nd. By a sparing diet and eating what is light and easy to digestion, I may doubtless be able to think more clearly and shall gain time. First, by lengthening my life. Second, shall need less time for digesting after meals. Thirdly, shall be able to study closer without wrong to my health. Fourthly, shall need less time to sleep. Fifthly, shall more seldom be troubled with the headache. Sabbath, November 22nd. Considering that bystanders always absent some faults which we do not see, or at least are not so fully sensible of ourselves. For there are many secret workings of corruption, which escape our sight and others only are sensible of. Resolve, therefore, that I will, if I can by any convenient means, learn what faults others find in me, or what things they see in me that appear any way blameworthy, unloving, or unbecoming. End of section 2, having been read by Peter John Parisius.